Well, good morning. It's fabulous to be with you. And I'm sorry, I've brought the English weather with me, haven't I? This is like summer for me. And I'm enjoying the hot weather. And you're saying, oh, it's so cold, it's so cold. Just when I left home, it was -5 degrees overnight. We had snow on the ground. And I come here and it's lovely. But everyone here is complaining. I think this is the coolest it's been that I've been in India. So it's great. I'm really enjoying being amongst you. Really good to meet up with some old friends and making new friends as well. And it's going to be such a pleasure for me to share from the Word of God this morning. I want to speak this morning about peace. And that God is able to give us abundant peace. God is able to give us an extravagance of peace. And that God is pouring that peace out, and it's just for us to step into that and to take hold of that peace for ourselves. But firstly, I want us to consider is how does the world find peace? What are the things the world can do to find peace? It might be and even in the UK, people do this. They might try and meditate. They might try and sit in a room and just think about something and concentrate on something else and meditate so that they can find peace. And some people come away from that thinking, oh, that's nice, but then something happens and it all goes off again. In the UK, we have increasing something called mindfulness, where you try and concentrate on your body when you try and think about the detail of what's going on and get your mind in tune with your body. And you want to maintain this moment-by-moment awareness of what's going on around you. And that is meant to give you peace. Or some people say you've got to be breathing properly. So you... And if you keep doing that over and over again, you'll find peace. There's a new thing in the UK as well, and this is really interesting because explaining this to you here, it comes from Scandinavia, and it's this idea of hygge. Now, you might be interested in this. Hygge, Scandinavian, so right up to the north of Europe, and they have a philosophy of hygge, where because it's so cold there, they try and make a room with a nice fire in it, and you have lots of candles, and you have lots of soft cushions and blankets, and you wrap yourself up so it's nice and snug. Does that sound good for you now in India? You would like hygge, I think, which I never thought I'd say in India. And that's how they get peace. They can like wrap themselves up, and it's about coziness. It's about being comfortable and just looking inward and enjoying things. And some people would also say that peace, we get peace by just having a lack of war or a lack of conflict. If we don't have war or conflict, then that is peace. So at the moment, around the world, there are some wars going on, but a lot of the world is in peace. Because there aren't wars going on in that particular country. So that's what the world might think about of what peace is. It's being calm in your own heart. But what does the Bible say about peace? There's a wonderful word in the Old Testament, a Hebrew word called shalom. I'm sure we've heard of that word. Not many Hebrew words we know. But the word shalom is a word that we've heard of. It speaks of peace. But the peace that it describes is a peace of wholeness. It's a peace of completeness, of sound well-being. It's not just how you feel, but just your whole body and your whole spirit. Are you at peace? Do you have that shalom? And it has a very big meaning and a very big range of things that can be described for it. And
God himself calls himself Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. And it's one of these compound words of God. The word itself describes what God is about, the true nature of God. And the place where that is revealed to us is in Judges chapter 6. And Austin mentioned this gentleman during the worship time. And that's Gideon. And a wonderful story of Gideon. So the situation was that the Israelites had entered the promised land, but they had not yet conquered the whole of the promised land. And they had these people, the Midianites, who would raid. They would come into the land that the Israelites held, and they would trample over the crops. They would take their crops and do lots of damage to the nation. And people ended up trying, the Israelites went and hid away in caves to try and get away from these Midianite raiders. And they would struggle to get away and keep what they have away from these raiders. But the Midianites kept coming year after year after year, tormenting these people. And then in Judges 6, we have this story about Gideon. And it's Judges 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came down and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon, and listen carefully, where Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Wow. What an amazing thing for the angel of the Lord to say to this lad, Gideon, particularly because of what Gideon was doing. So he was threshing wheat. He was throwing up the wheat and hoping that the wind would then blow away the chaff. And these places were normally done on the top of a hill, so there's lots of wind. They could throw up the wheat and the chaff was separated. But because of the Midianites, because of the fear that Gideon had, because of the lack of peace that he lived in, he went into a wine press to do this, to hide the wheat that he had. Now, a wine press is probably somewhere, a big kind of sunken pit, probably inside or just outside under a veranda of a building. So he was trying in a wine press to throw up the wheat and allow the wind to throw it away, to blow the chaff away. That is a pathetic thing to do. It was a silly thing to do. This man in weakness was trying to do something just to try and hide away to keep the wheat for himself. And toss it, it was a very pathetic thing. Tossing it up, there's no wind in a wine press. And it probably all fell down on top of him. Let's do it again. Throwing it up and trying to get this wheat, the chaff, away from this wheat. And it's in this setting that the angel of the Lord comes and appears to this pathetic man doing this really silly thing. And he says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." If I was Gideon, I'd look behind me. I'm doing this pathetic thing, and this angel appears and calls me a mighty warrior. Why are you calling me this? And he was calling Gideon this mighty warrior because what God had prophesied, what God had promised, and God eventually does through the work of Gideon. That calling of Gideon, not seeing how Gideon was now, this man of weakness, but seeing of what Gideon is going to become, this mighty judge who is going to rescue Israel. And Gideon goes through a process of making an offering to this angel. The angel then kind of has the fire of heaven come down and burn this offering up. And then Gideon makes an altar in that place, and he calls the altar The Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. And it seems that in the times of need, that is when God reveals his names and his nature to people. So Gideon needed God's peace at that time. He needed to know God's hand upon him at that time. And the angel comes and reveals this fresh name of God, Jehovah Shalom, to him. I am the God of peace. And what happens next? Well, of course, what happens next is all of Gideon's problems disappear. He buys a nice house and sits down for the rest of his life and drinks wine and has curry. That is not what happens to Gideon. We will read the story. You can read the story, what happens with Gideon in the future. But he stays in the circumstance where God found him. The Midianites were still present. The idol worship that was going on around him still happened. But he had God's peace. He was able now to live in those circumstances, secure that he had peace in God. Because God had revealed that to him, Jehovah Shalom, and that was enough to sustain Gideon in that process. God didn't magically take him out of the situation, but he kept him in that situation for purpose to see God's glory revealed. Brothers and sisters, when we pray for things, we might have an idea of how God is going to provide. We might have an idea of how God is going to change things around us. But God knows best. And God may keep you in a particular place, but he will impart something to you to sustain you in that place he has called you. It could be peace, it could be strength, it could be faith. Whatever you need in that situation, God is able to meet you in that place. And as we read through the Old Testament, and it was wonderful this morning as Samantha led us to remember the rich history and stories of God's goodness through the Old Testament, that as we look through that, it seems that God almost puts people in positions of pressure, in positions of need, and it's in those times he comes and he reveals his name to people. And as that happens through the Old Testament, we then build up a picture of the nature and character of God, because he's revealed those things to people as he's done that. He's revealed peace be upon you. The very nature of God of bringing peace upon people has been revealed in the Old Testament, and we still go into that and enjoy that as we're in the new covenant as well. And the Bible speaks about there being a huge gap, a gulf between us and God that's been created by us doing our own thing, of us going our own way. And trying to bridge that gap ourselves is like putting a plaster over a gunshot wound. The gap is so big, and we try and do things to patch things up, but it's like putting a plaster over a gunshot wound. And we can try and do that and by finding peace in our own way, by doing our meditation or doing our breathing exercises. But fundamentally, we need that shalom. We need that wholeness of peace that only God is able to provide. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And we've just celebrated during the Christmas period of Jesus coming. And I'm sure during that period you would have read Isaiah chapter 9, that wonderful scripture where it talks about Christ being the Prince of Peace. Because God showed his extravagant peace to us by sending Jesus. He was aware of this huge gap between us, and in his in his love for us and his desire to have peace to us, he sends Jesus to us to bring that peace to us. Why don't you open your Bibles to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 to 18. Because this describes what Christ has done and the peace message that Christ has done as he is sent into the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We have peace with God. There's a vertical aspect to the cross. We now have peace with God. But we can also have horizontally peace with each other. God is now making a one new man in humanity, that we can be brothers and sisters in Christ. We may have many differences. We may have different backgrounds, different life experiences. But as we come to Christ, we are now brothers and sisters. All those barriers we once had have now been broken. Just last Sunday in our church meeting, I had the privilege at the end of the meeting, someone came forward at the end and said they wanted to become a Christian. They've been coming along to our church for some time. They'd done the Alpha course with us. A couple in our church had really befriended them. And we prayed with this man called Tommy, and he prayed with us, and after saying that prayer, I said to him, "You are now my brother. You were once far away from me, but in Christ, we have now been joined together, that we are now brothers together." And you could see the smile on his face as we hugged together and rejoiced in what Jesus had done for him. That divide has now been broken. And it's through Christ. So peace is not tranquility. Peace is not a state of mind. Peace is a person. Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not yet let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We receive peace from the person of Jesus. He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And we have that fullness and wholeness when we come into relationship with this magnificent Prince of Peace. Jesus has gone back to his Father in heaven. He's with him now, fully human and fully God at the same time. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us now here on earth. And we rejoice that he has done that. But how can we remember? How can we remind ourselves of what Jesus has done? Of him coming, of him giving himself, of his body, so that we can have peace. We need a way that we can be reminded regularly of what Jesus has done. We need him to give us something to help us remind, keep our memory of that. And that is why what he has given us is the opportunity, as we've done this morning, to break bread together. Because he wants to remind us of what he has done. He sent his son. He gave his body. He gave his blood so that we could be free. It's called a sacrament. A sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible spiritual truth. And it demonstrates what Jesus has done for us, and that we are able, in our weakness, week by week, we are able to come to him and reach out in our weakness and take hold of Jesus. Physically take hold of something and then take it into ourselves. In our weakness, we do that, and we can gain strength as we do that. As we reach out for the body, the bread, as we reach out for the blood, the wine, we can take that into ourselves. And as we do that, it reminds us of what Christ has done. It reminds us of the extravagance of God to not withhold things from us, but even give us his Son. So that huge gap between man and God can be filled, that we can have that relationship with him. And as Colin mentioned earlier, we also have another sacrament of baptism. And I understand you have your baptisms in March. Again, it's a physical thing that we can do to act out what Christ has already done. If you die to yourself, you should be buried because you are dead. If you leave a dead body around, it starts begin to smell quite quickly. So we bury people who are dead. And in the waters of baptisms, if you're dead to yourself but now alive, you are put into the water and you become dead. You are buried with Christ under the water. Now, Christ was buried for 3 days. The good news is, if you're thinking of being baptized, we won't keep you under the water for 3 days. But you have that moment of being dead and buried. And then just as Christ was raised from the dead, you are brought out of the water, raised with Christ, alive in Christ now. And looking behind you, you can see your old self left in the water. All your past problems, your past issues, the hang-ups, the history, that is dead now and is left in the water. And you can walk free from that place of baptism because you are now alive in Christ. And your old self is now dead, buried, and left in the ground. Peace comes out of our security in Christ. We are in Christ, so we have the peace of God. Philippians 4 reads, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As we draw near to God, as we pray to God, we find him and peace comes into our lives. Peace comes because prayer is an expression of trust, and God's people do not need to have it all figured out in order to trust him. We don't need to have all the answers. We come to God in prayer and faith and believe as we ask for peace, he will give it to us. And the peace we have is one that we don't understand. It's a peace beyond understanding. How many people have experienced that in your life? That you've prayed for peace and you have this amazing peace. Everyone else around there is losing their heads, but you just feel so peaceful, so full of God, so full of peace. And you think, I don't understand. How can I feel this way? I should be panicking like everyone else. But it's God has come. And it's a peace that's beyond understanding. I used to be a teacher. And we have government inspections in schools. And that we had weeks and weeks to prepare for this inspection. And all my colleagues were going crazy. They were putting up displays and doing all this extra work. And I was working hard, but I knew the peace of God. And I had people say to me in the staff room, Ian, aren't you worried about Ofsted? Aren't you worried about the people coming here, the inspectors to come? And I said, well, they can come. I have peace. And it was a real opportunity to just be a witness to that peace that God gives you. And that peace he gives is also guarded. The word that's used there is like a garrison. It's like you've got peace inside and there's a wall had been built up around that peace and it is guarded. 24/7, there are guards who are guarding the peace that God has given you, not allowing any stress, not allowing any issues to come in and destroy that peace. It sets up this security perimeter so that you have peace inside that. A peace which transcends all understanding, and he will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful God we have. Not only does he save us, he protects us as well, and setting this guard up around us to keep us secure in him. So how do we get that peace? If you don't know that relationship with God, and Colin spoke about this earlier, if you don't know that relationship with God through Jesus, if you haven't had an opportunity to say, yes, I want to go the way of Jesus, I want to give up my old life and have a new life that he promises me, where I can have the promises of God over me, you need to embrace Jesus. You need to embrace the Prince of Peace this morning. And you can begin to start that journey even this morning and start to take that step towards God. During the worship time, we were talking about God running after you. And he is. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he wants to have that relationship with you. He knew you from before you were born. And now he's calling out to you. And he's saying, come with me. Come back to me. I have made a way for you to have a relationship with the living God. And it's through my son Jesus, the Prince of Peace. If that's you this morning, you can embrace Jesus and start that journey. There's perhaps another group of people who want inner peace, that you yourself know that you're very anxious, that you're continually worrying about things, you're concerned, and you don't have that peace in your own life. For you, you need to embrace Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and to have that security in Christ, to have that freedom and understanding of what it is to be in Christ. You're no longer your own, but you are now in Christ. You've been adopted into his family, and you're now in Christ. And in that relationship, you can worship, you can read your Bible, you can enjoy the presence of God. And as you do that, as you seek and pray, God will reveal more and more of the Prince of Peace to you. And as you pray for more peace, he will impart that to you and then guard that peace in your heart. And thirdly, there could be another group, a final group, where you are involved in a ministry. You are doing work for Jesus and you are reaching out to your friends or you're serving in some way and you want to do that from a place of security. You want to do that from a place where you're secure in Christ that you can go forward and in the strength that God gives you to complete the task he has given you. You need to embrace Jesus. You need to embrace Jesus, the Prince of Peace, more. And from that place of security, you can then go out and share the extravagance of God's love, the extravagance of his peace with others around you. And people can have ministries inside the local church or going outside the church or within your group of friends and that sort of thing. And to have that strength of Christ, the strength, the peace that he gives you, is such an amazing thing to have from that place to go forward and see what he can do. So in all these three groups, if you miss the phrase, you are to embrace Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Whether you don't know Jesus yet, whether you are anxious in your life, or whether you're trying to start a ministry and develop a ministry, you need to embrace Jesus, the very Prince of Peace. And as you do that, he will release his grace and favor to you, and you are able to go in the strength of Jesus and see his kingdom come more and more in the world around us. I want to end this morning with a blessing. And I've written up, which will be projected, a couple of verses from 1 Thessalonians and from 2 Thessalonians. And I've changed the words in the first, one to make it into my. Is that all of the text? Yeah, okay. And what I'd like us to do, and we don't do this often in our church, I'm not sure how you might do it here, but I'd like us to stand and I'd like us to say this together and declare these this promise over us. It's a blessing, first of all, for yourself. They work with my, and then the second half is a prayer of blessing upon everyone else. And as we are doing this, I wonder if the music group could come up as well this time and just get ready. I'm going to go back into a bit of worship. So why don't we together say this? So may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify me through and through. May my whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls me is faithful, and he will do it. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. And I'd just like to invite you now just to share amongst yourselves a blessing of the peace of God. So just in about 30 seconds, while we just go back into worship, just go around and shake hands or hug and bless the person you meet and say a blessing, the peace of God be upon you as you get together.